Heimdall Command projected 7 days offline, Callie. We have less than 24 hours. Can they do it in time?
They say yes, though the computer system seems to be running suboptimally. And there's some fucking annoying pop song that plays every time the network tries to sound an alert or make a prompt.
Ah, our lollipop girl. Quite the earworm, yes?
Yes, sir. But Ballpark assures me everything will be 5 by 5 before Assault Fleet Kennedy arrives. If these local boys have to lose a little sleep or a little blood, so be it. We'll get it done.
Consider me delighted.
I live to give, Cerberus. I was just about to radio Romeo. We'll keep the engineers down here on the treadmill, but I presume you want these non-essentials transferred to the atrium with the rest of the meat?
Eventually. Keep them secure for now. I'll send Ghost and Charlie Squad to collect them soon.
Beta Squad is closer than Charlie?
Negative, Sergeant. Romeo and his squad are flatline.
Say again, Cerberus?
Romeo is dead, Callie. He and his entire squad were flushed out an airlock by a local hostile 1 hour and 47 minutes ago.
Flushed out a... an hour and 47 fucking minutes ago?
Fleur...
And you tell me this after you get me to debrief? Travis, what the...
Sergeant, I am dangerously close to raising my voice. Take a breath. Calm blue ocean, yes? Blue ocean.
Yes, sir.
Now, I understand you and Romeo were intimate. You understand I was willing to permit fraternization within my unit unless it interfered with operations. We will not do anything that will cause me to regret that decision, will we, Sergeant?
Negative, sir.
Bliss. Ghost and Charlie Squad are pursuing the hostile. You have my assurance she will be dealt with prejudicially.
Peter's killer is still alive, sir?
Oh, yes. She flushed her probe, but CAMS caught her before she retreated into the vent system.
Who is she? SEC team member?
Negative. Her name is Hannah Donnelly. Daughter of my predecessor, Commander Charles Donnelly.
That's a 17-year-old girl you're talking about.
Imagine my disappointment, yes?
Request permission to...
Negative. You and the rest of Alpha will remain in engineering. You will keep essential Heimdall staff pacified and on task, and assist Mercury in bringing the jump gate back online. This is priority 1. Confirm. Callie, this is Cerberus. Confirm receipt of order, over.
Cerberus, Callie. Sir? Yes, sir.
See to operations. I'll send Ghost to collect those non-essentials soon.
Non-essential, sir.
Oh, Jesus, don't! No, please!
I'm sorry, sir. What non-essentials?
I see.
Will there be anything else, sir?
Negative, Callie. Nothing further.
Roger that. Callie, out.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
This kid smokes too much. Laugh if you want. I'm telling you. Those things will kill you. Footage opens in Bay 17 of Heimdall Station at 20:59 hours, nearly 3 hours after the station was taken. The space is dark, lit with spots of halogen and the standby lighting in the tall actuator-assisted loading suits, AALs, lining one wall. The suits are big and bulky and cast long shadows on the floor. Nick Malikoff is pacing back and forth in front of them, and smoking like a chimney. He looks pissed. He's taken the time to lay out his uncle and the other dead House of Knives crew into some kind of repose in the shadow of the heavy freight tainer. Hands crossed over chests. Coins for the ferryman, or in this case chips from Heimdall's casino, placed over their eyes. Malakoff has his own pistol stuffed into his pants. Haji's long-handled cleaver on his back, spare clips in the pockets of his cargoes. Proper little House of Knives foot soldier, right? Problem is, there's no one to use the weapons on. The Heimdall docks are sealed off from the rest of the station, and without his cousin to play open sesame, Malakoff's trapped. Whispernet is under Baytech control, and the HOK grid is down. And so, the kid's slowly working his way through his pack of Tyrannosaurus Rex cigarettes, pacing back and forth at the far end of the bay, beating on his palm pad like it called his mama a bitch, in the hope Hannah Donnelly answers on the other end. Sadly for Malakoff, records show Donnelly's palm pad was still lying in a corridor in the infirmary section at this stage, so our hero is SOL. He stuffs the palm pad back into his cargoes, looks at his reflection in the visor of one of the loading suits, raises his middle finger. Yeah, fuck you too, chum. He lights another cigarette. You can see the thoughts running through his head. If it wasn't for him, the audit team would never have gotten on board Heimdall. If it wasn't for him, his uncle and friends wouldn't be dead. If not for him, none of this would be happening. Well, him and one other important contributor. Wheaton, he spits, punching an AAL suit in the belly. You're a f***ing dead man. The elevator doors ping open. The dulcet tones of Lexi Blue spill into the bay. And so on. Poet laureate of the 26th century, chums. Malakoff curses and hunkers behind one of the bulky suits as two members of the Baytech team, Sarah Mona Lisa Laurent and Lucas Link Castro, stalk into the bay. Link is olive-skinned, dark hair tied back in cornrows. Mona Lisa is pale, with red hair and a zine model's looks. Not the kind of femme you'd expect to see slinging a burst rifle and filling out a suit of plasteel battle armour. She can invade my space station any day. Just saying. The pair make their way to the Médecins Sans Étoiles biotainer they were smuggled aboard inside, and unload three crates of what might be high explosives onto a handcart. Hard to tell, these cams aren't great and the light is shit. What's more important, as Link is securing the load, Mona Lisa notices the corpses of the HOK crew, laid out in a neat row with casino chips over their eyes. Then she spots a dozen cigarette butts crushed about the hangar bay floor. Fresh cigarette butts. Told you those things would kill him. Psst! Mona Lisa snaps her fingers at Link and raises her rifle. Get on the clock. Link seeks cover, pulls out a hand scanner and aims it around the bay. Negative on probe activity. Good thing the Dom Nazhov weren't official residents of the station, right? Eyes and ears, Mona Lisa whispers. Report in to Cerberus. The pair engage their cybernetic night vision implants. I can tell because their eyes turn black as their pupils expand beyond the human norm, and begin a sweep of the bay. They move carefully, covering each other's backs, checking every blind spot. Laser sights cut red arcs through the gloom, boots silent on the grill. They're like goddamn machines. I take back what I said about Mona Lisa invading my space station. I prefer my women less murderbot-y. Link speaks softly into his headset. Cerberus, this is Link. Copy? A pause for a muted reply. Mona Lisa and I have detected unusual activity in Base 17. No sign of a probe. We may have a cowboy loose down here. Request backup. Over. Link listens to the response, then nods. Roger that. Link out. He glances at Mona Lisa. Rest of Charlie squad en route. Stay chill. Finish the sweep. Malakoff's kind of fucked at this point. The only ways out of the bay are the elevators, locked, the main door, sealed, the bay doors, with all that lovely vacuum just beyond them, and the air vent system. The closest ingress is a grill 6 meters above his head. Worse yet, he has a pistol, a cleaver, and whatever combat smarts a 3-year stint at a juvenile facility in New Petersburg can provide. His opponents have VK-85 burst rifles, sonic grenades, cybernetic upgrades, plus steel body armor and spec ops training. Yeah, sad face for Nicky Poos. Mona Lisa and Link are sweeping closer, rifles up and ready. But as Malakoff looks up at the grill to the vent system and then down to the AAL suit he's hiding behind, I swear, you can see that same little light bulb go off right over his head again. The AALs loom about 3.5 meters tall. They basically look like big enviro suits. Fully sealed for work in vacuum. Clear plastic dome for 360-degree vision. Magnetic boots for stability in zero-G. Titanium exoskeletons with big servos at each joint. Hydraulic assisted lift action. Huge metal hands like 3-fingered vices. The elevator pings. The lollipop refrain fills the bay as the doors hiss wide, momentarily drowning out all other audio.
Sweetest girl, the sweetest pie, kiss the boys and make them cry. Let the boys don't taste that sweet, now that I've had you too.
Yeah, you get the idea. The other two members of Charlie Squad, Kira Ghost Mazer and James Cricket Orr, stalk into the bay, weapons ready. At the far end of the space, Mona Lisa and Link wait until the elevator doors close and Lexi Blue shuts the hell up before moving again. They round a tall stack of reinforced freight tainers and creep down the row of AALs lit by the glow of the suit control panels. Link whispers their location to Ghost. Mona Lisa's eyes scan the gloom, and as they pass the 4th suits in the row, pistons hiss. Servos whine, and a 3-fingered fist pushing about 700 pounds per square inch slams right into Link's chest. The impact cracks his plasteel breastplate, sends him through the wall of a heavy tainer with a spray of spit and a breathless curse. Mona Lisa aims her rifle, yelling, "Contact! Contact!" She gets off a 3-round burst before Malakoff swings the suit's other fist, backhanding her 5 meters down the aisle. Her helmet and shoulder guard absorb the worst of the impact, but she's still spitting blood, crashing to a halt against another heavy tainer and clutching her head. Their squaddies are sprinting across the bay, calling for status, position, threat level. Mona Lisa can only groan in response, spit more blood onto the floor. Link is out cold. Malakoff has popped the top of the actuator suit and raised its arms to reach the air vent above. He scrambles up the hydraulics like his ass is on fire. Tearing the grill loose, he hauls himself into the duct. Looks like all those pull-ups he did in juvie paid off, just as Cricket and Ghost round the row of heavy tainers. They see Link unconscious, Mona Lisa groaning. "Vents!" She squeezes her eyes shut, waves at the ceiling. "Little shits in the..." The pair open fire, riddling the ducts with hollow-point rounds. Muzzle flashes cut my visuals to ribbons. Audio is nothing but gunfire. At least 2 sonic grenades get lobbed through the open grill, opening the duct like a love letter. When the chaos dies, Cricket climbs the AAL suit, pulls himself up to peer inside the vent. He looks up and down the length for Malakoff before dropping back to the ground. He's too big in his tactical armor to just crawl in after him. "Negative," he reports. "No kill." Ghost radios to Falk, reporting 2 wounded team members and an inability to pursue the hostile without stripping down to their unmentionables. Falk is less than pleased. Nicky Poos has escaped.
WhisperNet. Date 08-15-75. Time 21:03 hours. Heimdall chat. Hannah Donnelly.
Guest 007. Hannah Donnelly, I presume?
Donnelly H. Oh god, Nick, where are you?
No, but thank you for playing.
Okay, what?
No time to chat the chit. I'm not Nick. I'm his cousin Ella. They're gonna delete this guest ID any second. Whispernet is dead to us. Use the palm pad Nick gave you.
Nick never told me he had a cousin. Give me a way to know you're not them.
Yeah, yeah, jump on the palm pad and we can play 20 questions all night.
I don't have it anymore.
You lost it? What the f***, fam? You've had it for 30 seconds.
I'm done talking until you tell me something that proves you're with Nick.
Look, Blondie, if I was scamming you, I would have just said, yes, your highness, and made drooling noises when you asked if I was my cuz. Take a look around you. I'm the only friend you have, and we both of us know some chums who gotta get got. So find that palm pad if you want to even up with the f***ers who killed.
Connection failure. Guest ident not found. Retry. Retry. Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Hannah Donnelly is holed up in the mechanics workshop not far from the airlock, crouched behind a stack of toolboxes and spare parts. She couldn't afford to go far. She had to stop every third step and use her sleeve to wipe the telltale drops of blood from her wounded arm. In the workshop, she's found a relatively clean rag and used some bright red and yellow electrical wiring to bind it over the incision. Though the blood is soaking through, she can now move without leaving a trail for her hounds. So, presuming the transmission she just received was legit, her next stop has to be the palm pad Malakoff gave her, which, of course, fell from her pocket in a hallway on a completely different floor, a world away. She leaves the mechanics workshop at 21:17 hours, making her way back toward the infirmary. She doesn't opt for the door. Her encounter with the dearly departed members of Beta Squad has left her jumpy. She instead pulls a supply crate over to the ceiling vent, climbing up her makeshift ladder and disappearing into the air ducts once again. She doesn't have her probe in place anymore, and she doesn't appear on any cameras until I get her in corridor A17S again, some 52 minutes later. She's not in particularly familiar territory, so my best guess is she spent a while worming around up there before she worked out where she wanted to be. The grill covering the air vent nearest her palm pad wiggles as she tries to tug it up inside the vent with her. But nothing in life is that easy. Though she slowly twists it this way and that with the patience of a saint, there's no way she can pull the grill back into the vent. She needs to find another option, one that doesn't involve dropping it onto the floor below and alerting any nearby unfriendlies. One hand dangles down, holding the vent cover as she twists around inside the cramped tunnel, and finally emerges legs first. She hangs from her good arm, supporting her whole weight with a white-knuckled grip, grill held tight in her other hand. Then she lets herself drop, landing with a grunt, knees bent. The edge of the cover hits the floor. Not as loud as it would have if she dropped it, but not so soft either. With a wince, she leans the cover against the wall and heads up the corridor, stooping to grab the palm pad. Turning it over, she observes the small baggie of dust still taped to the back, and for an instant, her mouth quirks. Then she stuffs it into her pocket, all business once more, hurrying down the corridor on silent feet. She's heading for the infirmary, and a better bandage than electrical wiring and an old rag. She rounds the corner, straight into the arms of BATEC operative Abby Nightingale O'Neill, who's just changed course to investigate the sound of the grill tapping the floor. Nightingale is clad in the same black tack armour as the rest of the audit team, blonde hair pulled back in a braid like Donnelly's, with Hannah in her black Danae Matresco jumpsuit. They're almost mirror images of each other. They stumble apart, equally quick to recover. Donnelly drops into a fighting stance, but Nightingale has the advantage. She's already holding her pistol, a 50 caliber silverback most folks would need a tripod to fire. And, with a flick of her wrist, she trains it on Donnelly's heart. They lock eyes, each holding perfectly still, as Donnelly weighs the situation. but there's only one way it ends. Very slowly, drawing out each second to buy herself time to think, Hannah lifts her hands. She was just unlucky, really. Nightingale is one of two medics in Falk's group, and thanks to Malikoff's run-in with Charlie's squad, she was on her way to the Alpha Sector infirmary to pick up supplies to treat Link's cracked ribs. Any other time, Donnelly could have patched herself up with no one the wiser. Keeping her hand cannon trained in place, Nightingale lifts one hand to activate the transmitter attached to her headset. Cerberus, this is Nightingale. Over. Falk's only a heartbeat away, his voice audible to both Nightingale and Donnelly. Nightingale, Cerberus, go ahead. Nightingale smiling. I have somebody you're looking for, boss. Do tell. Miss Donnelly has decided to join us. Hannah Donnelly's gaze flicks over Nightingale, like she's deciding which limb to rip off first. Which, given her daddy's training regimen, she quite possibly is. Bliss, Falk replies. Restrain her with caution and wait for backup. Don't make the same mistake as Beta Squad, Nightingale. Donnelly's jaw squares. Her hand was nowhere near that airlock button. But though she knows she's not the one who spaced the four new popsicles in that loading bay, every piece of misinformation is an advantage. She keeps her mouth shut. Roger that, Cerberus. Nightingale's gun doesn't waver. Not much of a bedside manner for a medic, just saying. Good work, Cerberus out. And then it's just the blonde twins once more, sizing each other up. Nightingale speaks first. He likes the ones with some backbone. Let's do this nice and slow, and I'll take you in. There's every chance he won't kill you. Beta should have been more careful. He knows that. Donnelly sucks in a long, slow breath, considering her options, then swallows hard and nods. Silently, she turns away from Nightingale, crossing her wrists behind her back and holding them in place. Nightingale takes no chances, stepping in to press her pistol to the back of her prisoner's head, pulling a pair of zip ties from her belt with her other hand. On your knees. What happens next takes 2.7 seconds, so I had to slow the footage down and check it frame by frame to work it out. Donnelly tucks her chin and rounds her shoulders, shoving her butt against Nightingale's hips and doubling over, dislodging the muzzle from the back of her head. The pistol discharges. The noise must be deafening, but she doesn't flinch, and she swings her right hand up over her left shoulder, stiffened fingers finding Nightingale's left eye. Nightingale screams as the silverback fires again. Donnelly spins to face her, bracing the woman's arm across her chest and shoving hard. Nightingale falls backward and twists to land on her side, still screaming, one hand clapped to her bleeding eye. Donnelly drops one knee onto the medic's ribs, the other on the side of her head, knocking her out cold. Bet you it's the first time a Danae Matresco jumpsuit's seen a workout like that. Donnelly scoops up Nightingale's pistol, pulls off the woman's comset, and plugs it into her own ear. Using the zip ties to secure the operative's wrists and ankles, she leaves her unconscious on the floor, then reaches inside her jumpsuit to pull out her lipstick, and leans down to scrawl a message on the floor in bright crimson. Who's next? Come play. HD. XOXO. Hurting she might be, but Hannah Donnelly was raised by a man who thought talking military tactics was a fun way to spend daddy-daughter time. And, judging by the set of her jaw, she's ready to change the rules of the game. She stows the lipstick, hefts Nightingale's gun, and departs at a run for the infirmary.
Radio transmission, Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 642. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Bianca Mercury Silva, Corporal, Engineer. Date, 08-1575. Timestamp, 22:33 hours.
Cerberus, this is Mercury. Over.
Mercury, Cerberus, I read.
We may have a problem, Travis.
You have my undivided attention, though if this is in reference to Kali...
Negative. That psycho bitch is out of my sight. I'm happy.
Out of your sight? Am I to understand Alpha Squad isn't overseeing engineering operations?
Negative. Kali isn't here. No one from Alpha is. Anyways, she's not the problem.
An interesting interpretation of the situation, B. But pray, do go on.
Taxman is missing.
Missing?
Yes, Travis, missing. Unaccounted for, in absentia.
Last known location?
I sent him to check the coolant towers in the reactor area half an hour ago. He hasn't checked in, not answering radio, and I don't have manpower to go look for him. Getting the wormhole online is going to take longer than anticipated.
Indeed.
I'm talking days here. These computer systems are completely f***ed. This malware is into everything. Half the core code is corrupted. Ballpark is going to have to change the fuel rods for the interchange systems manually. Which means a 4-hour stint working outside the station and handling live hermium right above an active rip in the skin of the universe. And this f***ing lollipop song is driving me...
Stop. I'll have DJ help with your coding situation. I'll send a squad to look for Taxman ASAP. Meantime, I will send you a reminder of just how much you're getting paid to do your job, which, I'm reasonably certain, does not include lying on your back and screaming like a 6-year-old until you get what you want. Will that suffice, Corporal? Or would you like me to come down and personally wipe the dribble from your chin?
That's unnecessary, sir.
Are you certain? I have nothing better to do, after all.
Negative, Cerberus. I'm on it.
Bliss. Report if you have further issues. Oh, and if you happen to see Sergeant Russo in your travels, be a dear and let her know I wish to speak to her, yes?
Roger that.
Cerberus out.
Journal. Dename Atresco Jumpsuit, Collection Number 1475. Limited Edition. Price on application. Fathers need not apply. Modifications I need. Waist. Adjust for range of movement. Knees. Add padding. Shoulders. Reinforce stitching. Add internal pockets. Chameleon stripe, make sure it can blend to same black as suit. Ankles, widen to fit over boots.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Donnelly's reached the infirmary, where she's grabbed a packet of simskin and made tracks. Nightingale might be out of the equation, but Falk will have dispatched backup, and our heroine wants to be nowhere in sight when the cavalry arrives. She sprints down corridor A17F, Nightingale's gun in one hand, first aid supplies in the other. She's occasionally shaking her head, holding her nose, maybe trying to coax her hearing into returning to normal after having a gun go off in her ear. She stuffs the simskin into her pocket, and has headed back to the air vents when a bullet sparks off the wall right beside her head. Fleur Cali Russo is dashing in pursuit of Hannah Donnelly, teeth bared, half grinning, half growling. Looks like she figures if anyone was going to space Romeo, it was supposed to be her, and only after she was done with him. The rest of Alpha Squad are close behind, rifles up and ready, but it's clear Callie's tagged Donnelly for herself. Hearing loss aside, Donnelly sees the spark from the ricochet just fine, ducking automatically as she spins around the corner, flat out sprinting for cover. Callie's screaming something I can't make out over the gunfire, but you don't need subtitles to get the gist. Donnelly's got a grip on her pilfered gun, but it takes her 3 corridors before she manages to grab a fire locker and use it to swing herself around, cracking off 3 successive rounds. She's shooting quick and not used to the kickback. Dunno if she's ever fired a gun before, let alone one this big. Her elbows jar. She winces at the muzzle flash and volume, and the bullets go way wide. But they're enough to slow Alfred down, give her a second to collect herself. Then she's off again like a hare. No sense getting into a shootout here. She's outmanned and outgunned. And worse, she forgot to take Nightingale's ammo, which means she only has 6 bullets left. She makes straight for the elevators, using up her remaining rounds popping a wall-mounted fire extinguisher to give her the lead she needs. She's fit, but exertion and sheer terror have her chest heaving as she tears down the hallway. She gasps a verbal command to the elevators, but all 6 remain stubbornly closed. Sliding to a stop in front of them, she slaps at the button to summon one, then slaps again, pleading, desperation in every line of her body. But Baytex Tracy Mantis Lee shut down the elevators after Hannah's previous escape. There's a car on this floor, but without a Baytex security pass, those doors aren't opening. Donnelly has run into a dead end. With a focus born of fear, she turns to study the hallway, searching for shelter, a way out, anything that might help. No hatches above her, no exits. She tries digging her fingers between the elevator doors, but she can't get a grip. Whimpering now, she rips open the maintenance panel, grabbing the lever marked manual open, made for shutdown situations. It's linked in locally. Mantis couldn't take it offline without paying a personal visit. The doors slide open, and in an instant, Donnelly's inside, jumping up to punch the roof panel out of place with her free hand, blood pulsing through her makeshift bandage once again. As Callie and the rest of Alpha cautiously round the corner, Hannah shoves her pistol down the front of her jumpsuit and leaps up to grab the edge of the overhead hatch, hauling herself up on top of the car. A kick sends the cover back into place, and she jams the gun between the lip and a support beam to prevent anyone climbing up after her. Callie's breathing hard, eyes wild as she jumps up to follow Donnelly's example, punching at the panel, but the jammed pistol means it's not going anywhere. Get down here, you little shit! Lifting her rifle, she fires up through the hatch, the burst punching 3 holes right by Donnelly's foot. Hannah silently presses back against the shaft wall, and the next shot sends a line of light shining up from the place she stood an instant before. The footage is grainy, these are only low-grade security cams in the elevator shafts, but she's visible as she squeezes into a corner, minimizing the target she offers to Russo. 30 or 40 shots riddle the elevator roof before Russo swipes her security pass across the command plate, bringing it back to life. Ordering 2 of her squad to the stairwells, she jabs the button for the hub, closest to Heimdall's center of rotation. If she can't shoot Donnelly, she'll settle for crushing her. Space is at a premium on these orbital stations, and their elevators fit flush against the ceiling when they're at rest. As the car shudders to life and starts to rise, Callie resumes systematically shooting holes in the ceiling, screaming abuse as she works. Donnelly shies away from each bullet as it flies past, flinching uncontrollably. She looks up at the hub above, 15 floors away but rapidly approaching. They're in a shaft 3 elevators wide, though the other 2 cars sit dormant above, waiting for someone with the right pass to unlock them. She dances across to the front of the elevator, hand reaching out to grab at a passing door as they fly past the next level. But there's no time to get a grip, much less dive through. She flinches away from the next burst of gunfire as Callie shrieks below. Then she unzips her jumpsuit and starts to strip. She pauses with the jumpsuit at her waist to pull the pack of simskin, palm pad and lipstick from her pockets and stuff them into her bra. Then it's off with the jumpsuit, yanking the legs down over her boots as Russo reloads. She's down to her underwear now, and since this particular ensemble was clearly intended for the benefit of Jackson Merrick only, I'm doing my best not to notice it. And no, chum, I will not be describing it. Holding her journal in her teeth, she retrieves her pistol, shoves it into her boot, bundles up the jumpsuit in both hands, and in one leap, she's across to the thick wire cable of the next elevator. With the jumpsuit bunched up to prevent the friction from burning her hands through to the bone, and her knees bent so only the soles of her boots come into contact with the wire, she slides down in a barely controlled descent, picking up speed as the gravity increases toward Heimdall's extremities. Moments later, she hits the bottom of the well with a thud, and the elevator she left behind is snug up against the roof of the shaft, Callie just realizing there's nobody up there to get squashed flat. The fabric of the jumpsuit is burned through to within a couple of layers of Donnelly's skin, shredded beyond use or recognition, and she drops it, shakes out the pain in her hands and feet, and pulls open the service doors to peek outside. As Callie howls her fury up above, Donnelly draws her gun and disappears out into the corridor beyond.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants: Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date: 08-15-75. Timestamp: 22:47 hours.
Hannah D. Anyone out there?
Pauchuk. Just us terrorists posing as 15-year-old girls. Wait, did I say that out loud? Oh, foiled.
Okay, you're definitely related to Nick.
You got the palm pad back. Slow clap.
Small bow. Do you know who these birds are? What they want?
They cut me out of the system, Blondie. I know 1/6 of 3/10 of absolutely f*** all. They're pro. Their decker is top tier. They do the shooty shoot first and don't ask questions after. But other than that, I don't even know how many of them there are.
I worked out the shooting bit all by myself. Do you know if our people are okay? My father, Nick? My boyfriend's holed up on the bridge. He told me before my whisper net went down. Maybe he can help.
You don't know.
Ella?
Jesus, you don't know, do you?
Ella, you want to spit it out? I'm hiding and bleeding and blind here. I don't have time for riddles.
Okay. So look, I know your first instinct is going to be to smash the f*** out of something when I tell you this, but do not smash the palm pad. Your dad's dead. Those f***ers X'd him out. I'm really sorry. You still there?
I need a minute.
Hello? You still with us? Donnelly?
Are you sure?
Pretty sure, yeah. Hello?
Do you know if they've taken the bridge?
No. They've blinded me. I'm cut out of the network. And listen, I know this feels like shit, and I know you don't want to hear it, but right now you're the only chance I have of getting back in.
And if you get in, we can find out how many survivors there are?
You get me back in, I'll be able to tell you what brand of undies these goons wear. Presuming they're wearing undies, of course. I hear swinging it commando style is all the rage among interstellar murder squads at the moment.
I just need a minute. I'm sorry,
I get it. And I'm sorry, too. But you really only got 1 minute here.
Okay. I got one of their headsets. Will that help?
Unless you know the freaks they're transmitting on. It's as useful as a master's degree in philosophy.
So right now there's no way to find out what's happening on the bridge?
You do know what blind means, yeah?
What about Nick? He's a palm pad too, right? That's why he gave me this one?
Presuming he ever looks at it, yeah. But he's locked in the docks. The work I need doing is in Alpha. So if you fancy evening up the scorecard, I'm figuring those 4 goons I flushed out the airlock ain't even the start.
That was you?
My finger slipped. Honest,
They're blaming me for that. You know what? Fuck it. They may as well stay on my tail for it. The bigger a surprise you are, the better.
Double true.
Okay. Tell me what you need me to do.
Interdictor. Pouchuk. System alert. Alpha sector. Admin section. Alert. Environment. Alert type. Temperature increase. O2 levels dropping. Alert action. Fire alarm initiated. Suppressors engaged. Public address engaged.
Alert all stations. Alert all stations. Fire detected in administration section, level 19. Alpha sector. All fire wardens report to...
Wanna lick your lava pop, boy, you got the sweetest lips this girl has ever tasted. Boy, I need some sugar on me.
Radio transmission, Baytech audit team, secure channel 389. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander, Kira Ghost Mazer, Sergeant, Charlie Squad Leader. Date, 08-15-75. Timestamp, 23:19 hours.
Ghost, this is Cerberus. Report status.
Cerberus, Ghost. Charlie Squad operational strength still at 50%. Link's coming too. Mona Lisa has probable concussion, and Nightingale should be here to take care of it by now. Did she stop for a picnic or something?
I'm truly grieved to hear of your troubles, Ghost. Nightingale has been delayed. Meantime, would it be inconvenient to assist with a little of the work we're being paid so handsomely to perform?
No, sir. Apologies, sir.
Bliss. I believe we have a bead on Miss Donnelly.
Cricket and I are good to go right now.
A fire alarm has just been activated in the administrative levels in Alpha Sector. We assume Miss Donnelly would like us to evacuate the area, and I'm interested to know what she plans on doing while we're gone. Take Cricket and go find out what she doesn't want us to see. If you can bring her in alive, so much the better. She's beginning to interest me.
Is it actually on fire in there, Cerberus?
Here's a thought. Why don't you be a dear and go find out? Assault Fleet Kennedy arrives in 19 hours, Ghost. The clock is ticking.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Ghost and Cricket, the two currently healthy members of Charlie Squad, proceed with caution into the administrative levels of Alpha Sector. Red lights are flashing a coded alarm, illuminating the corridors in quick, bloody flashes, and the shrieking of a siren overhead is interspersed with the sound of Lexi Blue's new single on constant repeat. Callie and the rest of Alpha Squad are prowling along corridor A12B, having beaten Charlie to the location. Callie's still wearing her headset, listening in on Falk's orders, but she's not responding to hails. Apparently she's got revenge on her mind, and it's really annoying when people try to talk at you while you're feeling murderish. On Falk's command, Mantis seals off the admin block, trapping whoever's inside right where they are. Then she jumps on comms.
Mantis. Charlie Squad, looks to me like you're in the admin sector.
Ghost. Our tracker beacons give it away, Mantis?
No need to be snippy. You want some help or not?
Depends. Are you being helpful yet?
I've got activity off corridor A12E. Someone's trying to log in to the personnel systems there. 23 failed attempts so far and counting.
Guess we found something she's bad at. Proceeding now, Mantis. Please advise Cerberus.
Good hunting.
Ghost and Cricket make their way toward corridor A12E in silence, though the sound of their footsteps would be masked by the pop song blaring all around them in any event. They round the corner at the same time that Callie and the rest of Alpha Squad appear at the other end of the hallway. All six snap their weapons up, then jerk them higher to remove the target from their teammates. Ghost and Cricket trot up the corridor to join Callie. Though their conversation is inaudible over the pop music, the body language kind of speaks for itself. Allow me to take a stab. Ghost, what the ever-living f*** are you guys doing here? Callie, this is a big gun, and I am very, very angry. Cricket, she certainly looks very angry. Ghost, the boss man is looking for you. Why you no cool no more? Callie, let's stop arguing and get in there and shoot a million holes in the little bitch. Ghost, okay, that's something we can all agree on. They turn as one, Ghost taking point over Callie's scowl, and creep toward the doorway to the personnel systems office.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
27 failed login attempts. 28 failed login attempts. Charlie and Alpha Squads approach the terminal from both directions, watching each other as they creep along behind banks of desks. Callie lifts a hand to signal countdown, and though that's Ghost's prerogative, she chooses not to screw with the other woman today. Smart, in my opinion. Callie's fingers flick down one by one. 3, 2, 1. They rise, 6 burst rifles trained on the security station, 6 operatives ready to shoot. The drinking bird bobs its head, stylus stabbing at the enter key for another failed login attempt. As it flashes its butt at Callie and Co., we can see that its tail end is adorned with a jaunty smiley face, scrawled in red lipstick. Not Donnelly's best work, to be honest, given the portfolio we've seen so far. Callie roars, audible even over the music, and pulls the trigger. Poor drinking bird. His stylus, his keyboard, his terminal and his smiley hindparts are all reduced to shrapnel, as she empties an entire clip into the place where Romeo's killer is supposed to be. Several floors away, in the server section, a vent in the kitchenette ceiling starts to wobble.
Journal. Here's a copy of the plan Ella sent me.
Jump station, Heimdall. Alpha sector, level 17. Server cluster. Server room incursion instructions. Author, Ella Malikova. Super genius. Step 1. Space ninja into server room via kitchenette vents here. Step 2. Get cup of water. Step 3. Pour water on camera here. If you're not tall enough to reach, bring chair from kitchen. Step 4. Creep to login server here. Step 5. Sync palm pad to login server. Use attached instructions. Step 6. Upload interdictor. Use attached instructions. Read carefully. Step 7. Don't get shot. Important. Step 8. Exit via vents. Space ninja. Step 9. Profit. Interdictor, Pouchuk. System alert. Alpha sector, admin section. Alert. No alert. Alert type? No alert type. Alert action. No action required.
Briefing note. Video journal lifted from Ella Malikova's personal computer. We had to sacrifice several kittens to ancient blood gods in order to crack the encryption on this thing. But you know, these particular kittens were jerks. So...
Video journal transcription, prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage for this entire journal is a shot of Ella Milikova speaking directly to the camera. Ella's 15, but she looks younger. Long black hair, sharp bangs. You can see a resemblance to her cousin Nick in the cheekbones and razor blade eyes, but that's where it stops. Kid must weigh 30 kilos. The Lysergia plague took the rest when she was 13. The chair she's strapped into looks even scarier than the computer she's sitting at. Wetware trodes at her temples, breather pumping a medicated mix of O2 over her mouth. Say what you want about handsome Mike Malikov. He loved his baby girl enough to spend a fortune on that rig. Enough to keep her kicking after Lysergia dragged her as close to death's door as most folks ever get. Kicking is the wrong word, I guess. Her legs are covered by a temp-regulated blanket, but you can see they're not much more than skin and bones. No evidence of muscular atrophy from the waist up, though. Her fingers dance on three smart glass keyboards like a concert pianist's the whole time she's talking. She named her computer Anansi, which, for the uninitiated, was an old Terran spider god. Web. Spider god? Get it? Anyway, the machine is a beast and looks the part. The little spider used to make these vid journals for her best friend Zoe, who travelled off-station a lot. Just don't be offended when she says something rude. She grew up in a den of bastards, thugs and murderers, so rude is where she lives. Journal begins.
Hey, Zoe, monster hugs, big kiss for my best miss, mwah mwah. So, listen, I don't know if I'll even be alive to send this, but in the highly probable event your home is a smoking debris field, orbiting a collapsed hole in space-time when you get back to it, there's some stuff I need to get off my beebs, such as they are. First up, it was indeed me who told Dylan Anderson that your lady parts were all mad fizzy for him. I know you told me not to, but watching your ovaries go straight nuclear every time his name came up was getting uncomfortable for both of us. Sorry he turned out to be such a shit, but it could have been a beautiful thing. Yeah. Confession, the second. Mr. Biggles is not Mr. Biggles. The real Mr. Biggles died the last time you went back to Ares. I know you asked me to feed him, and I did, but I think I fed him too much. Anyway, you didn't even notice I swapped in a new fish, and Jesus, if you knew what I had to pay for one that looked exactly like Biggles the First and get it out here, you'd know how much I love you. But, double big sad face, love heart, hugs? So now, with my deadly sins confessed, the sitch. Heimdall's been taken over by some type A sh-holes, terrorists or neo-fascists or pirates. Dunno. But they're geared to the gills and happy on the trigger, and I'm gonna see every one of them breathing vacuum before I cash in. Hence the aforementioned potential for all your shit to get blown up. So, if things go boom, sorry in advance about your signed Artie Corso stuff and Mr. Biggles too. The fascists kind of have everyone locked up, except, and oh my god, you will puke in your mouth when you hear this. Hannah fucking Donnelly. Oh yeah, you heard right. Her Majesty, the future Mrs. Merrick herself. You should see the outfit this femme is wearing, Zoe. Ridic. Must have cost the annual GDP of New Petersburg. Double true. And my God, with the push-up bra. I can't believe Nick is so drooly-faced happy pants for this femme. Too much gag. Anyways, she didn't get snaffled with everyone else. So Little Miss Trust Fund is helping to get me back onto the Heimdall grid. First stop, security cams. I'm gonna rig their feed to show looped footage while I work on cutting them out entirely. Might mean I get cut out too, 'cause this system is moodier than you on the razzle. But this is still my home turf. The decker these sh-holes brought with them is top tier, but I'm gonna stomp his jelly bean so hard his kids will be born crooked. After that, I gotta find Nick. Yes, you'll be pleased to hear my cousin's buttocks, ew, were in one piece last I saw. They've locked me out of Whispernet, but I gave Nick a palm pad so he could talk dirty to her ladyship. I can chat to him on that if he thinks to check it, but so far nada. Boy, Def gets his looks from my side of the fam, but he has a bucket of dicks between his ears, as far as I can tell. But, you know, at least he's okay. I mean, they could have... Zoe, they... Oh, Jesus, Zoe. I gotta get back to it. TTYL, bitch.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Nicholas Malikoff, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 00-29 hours.
Pouchuk. This femme got the skills and the others can't match it. This femme got an itch and boy you can't scratch it. I don't want your money, I just want your honey, I don't want a ring, I just want your something, something.
Nick M., stop. Please God, Jesus, stop.
Hey, you finally remembered to look at your screen. Yay you.
I was kind of busy, cuz. And getting shot at and blown up listening to Lexi Blue isn't bad enough. I gotta get it from you now?
You gotta admit, it's a pretty catchy tune. All caps, BTW. So what news, my cuz?
Fuckers found me in Bay 17, but I jumped. Skulking in the vent shafts now. I am the Skulk Master! Nuff, 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 nuff.
Thought you said they blew you up.
They threw grenades at me.
I never got a grenade thrown at me before. Fun?
Not so much. How you holding up?
Chill.
If you want to talk...
I said I'm chill, Nick.
You sure?
I cannot right now. So, moving on?
Okay, so what we gonna do? You still cut out of the Heimdall network?
Yeah. I got a way back in, though.
What I gotta do?
You were no good to me locked in Docktown, cuz mine. Server cluster I need is an alpha. Lo, a wild quandary has appeared.
So we f***ed.
Nick, got me a secret weapon. Mwahaha.
Oh, yeah? What?
Not what, cuz. Who? Mwahaha. Ominous lighting.
So who, then? Jesus.
Hannah D. has entered the chat.
Speak of the devil, and thou shalt hear the strangled scream of her C-cups.
Hannah D. What?
Nothing.
Holy sh... Hannah?
Teary reunion later, cuz. You get the doings done, Blondie?
You tell me.
Oh, my God. You did. Hearts and flowers and teddy bears. I got serious mad scientist to do. This is gonna take time.
Find out about the guys on the bridge. Jax is there. If you get eyes on the atrium, check if any of the sec team are still standing. And my dojo master, Kim, too, she'd be an asset.
Any other requests, Your Majesty?
My friends were in the atrium, too, but I'm sensing some sarcasm in that question.
See, those folks who say you're an empty-headed rich girl with the IQ of a toe jam scraping, they don't give you enough credit.
Ella.
We'll leave you two crazy kids to it. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Keep the sexy to a minimum, though. I can read your chat logs, and I'm only 15, remember?
Fuck off, little spider.
No love.
Pouchuk has left the chat.
Hey, Highness.
Hey yourself. How's your day been?
I had grenades thrown at me, so, you know, that's something new. Look, sorry about skipping out on you. I figured my people were our best shot of figuring WTF was going on. I'm real glad you're okay.
Okay is probably stretching it.
Hell of a Terra Day, huh?
Yeah.
You holding up all right?
I've been keeping busy. I met Ella and there were some bullets and stuff.
Which was worse?
Are you kidding? Ella and I are meeting up to braid each other's hair later. She had some very interesting things to say about you.
Yeah, see, I love her and all, but be warned. My cuz is crooked as a dog's back leg. When she was 6, she convinced me and my bro the NPPD was putting audio surveillance drones into candy to spy on our old man. We gave her all our Hallows Eve loot 3 years running for safe disposal. So believe nothing she says. Unless she was telling you how great I am, then she's on the legit. Double true.
That is exactly what she said.
I'm just gonna pretend I believe that. Where you hold up?
I am taking up real estate in a particularly spacious air vent just now.
Hey, I lost your corsage in one of those. Sorry, grenades, you know how it is.
Well, I lost my jumpsuit. Fully automatic gunfire, you know how it is. The corsage was sweet of you, though.
Wait, you serious?
I am. I know I don't say a lot of nice things to you, but the corsage was above and beyond.
No, I mean you serious about having lost your jumpsuit. WTF, were they firing magic bullets?
Yes. They were magic bullets, Nick. I'll be wearing clothes again by the next time you see me, assuming we live that long.
Meaning,